Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the privilege to be a part of your plan and a part of your kingdom and a part of everything you've called Apostle to do here. We thank you for Apostle this morning. We thank you for his life. Thank you for his ministry. Thank you for every bit of anointing that you put on his life for us. So we appreciate it. Let us be partakers of that same grace, that same anointing. Endow us with the same understanding, the same love, the same flow for the people, God. Just give us an endowment this morning to be all that you've called us to be. We thank you for connection. So we appreciate you. We give it all up to you right now. This moment is for you. All moments are for you, but we especially put this moment in your hands so that you can say something to us and give us something special. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Paul was a master, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a master at two things. Our apostle is a master at the same two things. Number one, Apostle Paul was a master at the master. All right, listen to what I'm saying. Come on in. Quick, sit down. If anybody walk in that hallway, tell them, come on, move on up. 9 o'clock, it is 8:57. 8:55 means your own time. Let's go. If you're here at 9, that means you're late. Your own time, you're late. I heard that before. Y'all ever heard that before? If you're on time, you're late. If you're early, then your own time. All right? Nobody wants to be late for the rapture. Nobody wants to be late for the increase. Nobody wants to be late for that good stuff. You ain't late for your doctor's appointment. If surgery was going on, you ain't late for that. Amen. Amen. I be talking nice sometimes, but let's get to it. You see anybody in their Benoit, tell them to get a move on. Apostle Paul was a master at two things. Number one, he was a master at the master. What am I saying? Apostle Paul had a great and phenomenal revelation of who Jesus was. Oh, no, not who Jesus was, who Jesus is. He was clear about it. You hear Apostle Paul say that I may know him. Apostle Paul always said, not that I already attained, but I keep pressing for the prize. I keep pressing to be like Jesus. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. I mean, these are phenomenal scriptures in the Bible that we know, right? It sounds poetic. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Apostle Paul went over and over in those epistles. He went over and over speaking about Jesus and his revelation on the Christ. Apostle Paul was able to do so much in his ministry because of that revelation of Christ. All right? It wasn't because he was Apostle Paul. It wasn't because he was the most special person. Apostle Paul became special because he knew who Jesus was. You remember Apostle Paul didn't walk with Jesus. Apostle Paul had a greater revelation of Jesus than Peter, who did walk with Jesus. And God bless Peter. So he was a master at the master. He was a master at understanding who the master is. And the second thing, and it's almost in the first thing, but the second thing he was a master at, he was a master at the master's will. All right, now y'all might not be writing this down because that may not be deep enough for you. And maybe you got a deeper revelation than me this morning. Okay, but he was a master at the master and a master at the master's will. So what are you saying? He had mastered whatever it is that Jesus wanted to accomplish in the earth realm. He knew what it was. He knew his place. He knew his job. He knew his position. This is why I listened to Wesley Silver. I took Wesley Silver at LSU. They talked about the beginning of Christianity. And they said the most two important people, the two top important people in Christianity was Jesus and then Paul. I said, why is that? Because, you know, he's Jesus. I mean, that's ain't no Christian without Christ, right? But then Apostle Paul spread the gospel further than any man has ever spread it in the history of the world. The reason that the gospel is here right now in this Western civilization and here in America for you is because Apostle Paul spread it all over the world. I mean, he had a passion to do God's will and for God's will to be done all over the place. He had such a clarity of Jesus and then what Jesus wanted that he went walking with it. I mean, it was almost to a point to where nobody could stop him from doing what he was doing. We do a little history on Paul. Before Paul was Paul, he was Saul. You know, Saul was killing Christians. He was passionate about that, too. He was going all over, said, this is the wrong thing. Y'all talking the wrong revelation. Y'all blaspheming against the church. We supposed to handle our business. I'm killing y'all. We're not even talking about it. I'm killing you. Had that moment with Jesus, knock him off that beast. Everything changed, but the same tenacity stayed. Master about the master, and he was a master about the master's will, all right? So right there in Ephesians 4, quick, turn over there real quick. And this is one of the ones we use for government and one of our staple scriptures that we've been going over even when we were learning the point of the apostle. What it was, you know, we didn't know what government was. Amen. Come on, y'all. We didn't know. We thought we knew, but we thought apostle was just somebody to go start churches. Or we thought he was just a saint. We didn't know what was going on. We were just trying to flow as much as we could. So here we are now, Ephesians 4 and 11. And you can read. Come on, turn that quick. You can read. Ready, read. We're going to read together. Ready, read. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Watch this. So stop right there. So now we see he gave us these gifts. You see that? He gave us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Right? He gave it to us. He gave it to us for a reason. The first one we saw was the apostle. Right? I love what apostle said at a meeting not too long ago. And he said it a couple times. It was beautiful. He said, you know, the apostle is number one. He's at the top, but he said the apostle is also at the bottom. He said, apostle is also the foundation. Sometimes we want to be, any good leader knows how to be stood on. Any good roof knows how to be a great foundation. Y'all get what I'm saying? Anybody that's going to lead somebody knows how to undergird somebody. Sometimes you don't lead anybody by standing out in the front with your suit on. Y'all see how I'm marching? Come on, y'all. Come on, we not suits. I'm going to lead. No, sometimes we don't lead like that. Sometimes the leading is like this. Sometimes the leading, a good leader, Jesus even gave that parable about a good leader for the 99 and the one. Y'all remember that? But the 99 and the one? Will he go look for that one? Sometimes the leader is come and pick up that one that might have fell and tripped during the walk. That's a leader. Everybody say, that's a leader. Come on, say it again. Say, that's a leader. See, a leader is not about saying things and everybody jumps when you say it. Although that happens. But that's just the products of being a good leader. See, apostle come here, everybody gonna stand up. Apostle tell you go run across the building. Everybody will take a lap around the building. But that's a product. Your obedience is a product of his leadership in your life. You get it? Because some of us have been picked up before. Amen. Come on. Some of us have been led in directions before that we didn't have. Let's be honest. We had no clue what we was gonna do. Come on. I had no clue. I had an idea of what I thought I wanted to do, but if I'd have done what I wanted to do, I'd have messed it up. Leadership, so I'm pick you up out of the dirt. So the apostles at the top and the bottom. So now we see apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, right? Verse 12, read it. Stop. Now we usually read verse 12 all the way through. Read it all the way through. Just go ahead and read it all the way through. So we go through. This is what it's for. You know, the effect of the saints, the work of the ministry, for edifying of the body, right? It's in order. Is verse 11 in order? Look at verse 11. Is verse 11 in order? Come on, like I'm talking about like by ranks, by chronological order. Is verse 11 in order? It's in order, right? So if verse 11 is in order, then what they came for is in order too. Verse 12. So what's the first thing that you see on verse 12? Perfecting of the saints. Everybody say it. Perfecting of the saints. Say it again. One more time. So I cannot 1, 2, 3. Everybody say 1, 2, 3. Come on, say it again. 1, 2, 3. One more time. 1, 2, 3. Now I can't skip one because if ain't no one, ain't no two. Right? And it's just basic what we A, B, C. You can't go to B without A. Right? I cannot skip to where I want to until I go through the proper steps. Till I go through the proper process. 1, 2, 3. One comes before 2. 2 comes before 3. But I cannot get to 3. You ever tried to skip steps, going up steps before and trip? Anybody? I have. You ain't going to tell the truth. I have. And especially if you're by yourself, you're going to look around and see if anybody saw you, right? Right? Because you're just trying to skip steps. You're trying to skip steps. A lot of times in life, we're trying to skip steps instead of taking the steps. Each step is building character in us. Okay? We don't like the steps. Everybody wants to get where we want to, especially in this new society. We want to get where we at. No, take the steps. Enjoy the process. Endure the process. There's some resilience in the process. But it's got to be in order. Everybody say in order. Come on, say it louder. Say in order. So now verse 12, if we stay in order, then there's the whole government, which is in order in verse 11, is in order for this whole will of God in verse 12. And it's in order. I cannot skip the order, but I have to go in the order that it was given to me. This Apostle Paul talking. He was the master at this thing. So now the first thing that the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teacher came for was number one, the perfecting of the saints. Say it. So perfecting. Let's go. We're good church people. We didn't heard the word before, right? Perfecting. I say don't stop saying can't nobody be perfect, because that's crazy. Can't nobody be flawless. But perfect has to do with purpose. Perfection has to do with maturity. A lot of you have been perfected in some things in your life because you matured. You aren't the young person or the young immature person that you used to be in that area. Now we all got a lot of growing to do still, right? I think the perfecting process is a lot of times we look for put it in the processor and then done. But I think it's just put it in the processor. I think we are like that. I think we are just to be placed in the oven and bake until the baking is done, and we don't know when that's going to be. Right? We don't know. Like, as soon as you think you're done, you still got a little batter in there that's still a little loose in there, right? Right? You don't really know. I think it's a process. I think the perfecting process is an ongoing process. The Bible talks about ever increasing and never coming to the full knowledge of who God is, full knowledge of Christ. Always increasing in faith, always growing in faith. It talks about it over and over and over and over again. You never really get there. You get there when you go to glory. So I think the perfecting process is an ongoing process. We're being perfected, but I think there are levels to this. Everybody say levels. There's levels. There's a level. You can say right now that there's a level of maturity in this room that is not in the whole church. Come on, amen. Come on, come on. There's a level of maturity in this room in leadership. That's why you picked to be leadership. There's a level of maturity that's there. There's some things that you know not to say. There's some things that you know just not to do. There's some times you know not to get up. This is not the time to say nothing. Especially with apostle. Right? There's just some ways that you know on how to carry yourselves and how to function. Even when the spirit get thick, you know to keep still. Right? You ever notice when the spirit get thick in service? And it get, because an apostle gets real ticky when the spirit get thick. And so for me, I keep still because I don't want to move around, because I don't want any distraction, because right now something on the line. And if something on the line, I don't want I don't want you to miss it. And I don't want to miss it neither. So if I got to keep still, I'm going to keep still. This is my maturity, though, right? I'm not going to be running around. Y'all ever seen the little kids come in church? My little nephews come in church wide open. It don't matter who they are, who it is. It don't matter what you're talking about, what you're saying, nothing. The little one, Jonathan, is going to come in and talking loud. Because he don't care, but he just don't understand. He's a child. He's a young child that hasn't matured to the point to know that. You know, they be telling him, shh, be quiet. He be like, mama, what, mama? Shh, 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 be quiet. Papa talking. He look, papa. That's what, he doesn't, the maturity isn't it. So he won't be quiet. That's why we have children's church. And nurse, because they're not mature enough to know how to flow with emotions. I keep still. So if he's got something to say, I'm not a distraction. If he wants to do something, I'll never be a distraction. If he wants to get something accomplished, now I'm saying something, all right? I'm saying something that I wasn't trying to say before, but I'm saying something to you. I make sure that I'm in my place, and I'm doing it exactly like I need to do it. I don't make no sudden moves. And I make sure I'm paying attention to the flow, because I do not, even sitting with apostles, let me tell you sometimes, sitting with apostles personally, like just not even on a corporate setting, but just we can be at the house. He can be talking at the table, or he begin to talk to the family. I will sit there and I won't move. I won't pick up my phone and do anything. No sudden moves. I'm almost like I'm just not gonna move. You know they tell you, sometimes they tell you when you're in the wilderness, if a bear run up on you or something like that, just don't move, which is crazy, right? But just don't move, and he gonna leave you alone. It's almost like just that stiff is like, I don't wanna move, because I don't wanna do anything to make you have to look over here at me to see what I'm doing. I don't want ever for you to have to take your eyes off of what's going on to see what I'm doing. Come on, I'm talking to you. I don't know if we're receiving it like it is, but I'm talking to you. I never wanna be making a move. I wanna be so lined up to where you think is you making that decision. That's how I want to be with apostles. I want to be so lined up to where You know, I got a cousin like this, and she'll talk to you, and you talk all the time. And she's been doing this since for years when we were little. You're talking to her, and she'd do like this. She'd be like, trying to finish your sentence. She'd be like, trying to say your word before. I mean, she just picked up a habit of doing it. She does it all the time. She's reading your lips. Like, she's trying to say what you say before you finish your sentence. That's how I want to be. That's how I want to be with Apostle. I want to be able to say what he say before he got to say it. And I want to be able to say it like he say it. And I want to be able to love somebody like he love them. And I want to be able to handle, you know, Apostle is, he's a master at this thing, right? And he can be a very stern man at times. You know, don't play no games. Like, don't, y'all know that. Apostle come and cut anybody, anytime, anywhere, if you feel that it's time to do it, right? But then I've seen that same sword be so skillful in precision and cutting sometimes. I've seen that same correction and stern discipline turn into the most loving I've ever seen, and will say some things to love on somebody that we wouldn't have known to say. Anybody ever been loved on by Apostle? Anybody ever gave you any personal instructions or any, right? It's almost like but all those things are needed. If you ever raise any children, you know both of them are needed. You know, sometimes it's time for the whooping, sometimes it's time for the talking. But the talking cannot take the place of the whooping, and the whooping cannot take the place of the talking. It just got to be what it's got to be when it's got to be that. Right? You keep on talking to them and stop rodding, and you see what you're going to raise. I'm a product of the rod. Some of y'all are too. I'm a product of the rod, and I had more rodding than talking. I had to mature to understand what the words were being said to me. And I understood that come along with not hearing, then I got smart. He's a master. I want to be a master. I want to grow in my mastery of number one in verse 12, perfecting of the saints. Now there's some other things that got to be in verse 12, because the next thing says what? Work of the ministry. What's the next thing? Then find a body. But I cannot get to work. Our building until I perfect it. Let me tell y'all what's going on here. And I don't know if you really see sometimes what's going on. And the further is going to tell you how we do this. I don't know if we see sometimes what's going on, but the perfecting of the saints has everything to do with the work of the ministry. And it has everything to do with the building, the edifying, the building up of the body. God has specified thousands of people to come here to Word of Life. You know, when he said, I call them from the east, west, north, and south. Huh? Any of y'all remember that? He told Apostle, he said, I'm going to do it then, Daryl. He said, I'm going to call them east, west, north, and south. I'm going to buy them cars, put gas in it. They'll be glad to drive. They'll land in New Orleans. Baton Rouge, asking which way is Daryl.
All right. Good morning. We're in another phase of ministry. You may be seated. I'm going to bring you up to date by giving you various insight that the Lord has given now, okay? First of all, you want to focus on the word voice, because at this time you will have to be able to hear his voice, because we're moving beyond tradition, religion, normal patterns, and so the voice must be clear now.
Yes, sir.
You understand me?
Yes, sir.
The voice must be clear. What I said?
The voice must be clear.
God's voice, Jesus' voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit must be clear without question. You must know that he's speaking to you.
Yes, sir.
You must listen with intent from this day forward. As to be a leader in this type of ministry, because I'm going to go to another phrase in a few moments. Now, in hearing his voice, you know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. The voice of a stranger will pull you when you're going to another level.
Yes,
amen.
It will try to intimidate you,
yes,
try to tell you you're going too far, but in the supernatural, there's no too far realm.
Yeah.
Okay, we bucked a lot of things. We bucked a lot of religion, a lot of tradition. And at this point, you know, I've harped on the eating habit, and this morning now I'll go into the spiritual aspect at a deeper dimension. The eating was the minor.
Yeah, right. Right.
All right. But you got to push it to the gear. You got to push it to get people to see how they're destroying themselves, because they're constantly being healed.
Yeah, amen. Yes, sir.
You're constantly walking in health.
Right.
But you got to learn how to help yourself.
Right.
Now, not only the voice now, you have to understand the vision. The vision within you. You have to understand, you have to catch a hold of the vision, that the vision is moving like a vehicle. It's going from one dimension to another, one gear to another gear. And so you have to be open as the vision overshadow you. They overshadow you. I mean, you get to the point where you got to believe God. You get to the point where you got to believe God. Because if not, you won't understand. Turn to Mark 11:23. You won't understand the verily, verily. See, when the Lord said verily, verily, say, I need you to get this. I need you to see how this works. So throughout the scriptures, he talked about verily, verily. Truly, truly. In other words, it's a double hit. Because he's trying to get your attention, you got to grasp this. When you grasp this, your personal life, everything will be taken care of when you grab this. Because you're not much of a carrier if you haven't produced. Oh man,
amen.
You're not, you see, you can't carry something you haven't produced. So you got to be able to know, you got to be able to know the voice, because the next thing I'm going to say to you is very important. You got to be able to know when the voice, you got to understand, you got to be able to hear the voice. And I say to you that the voice, in hearing the voice, the voice sometimes is verily, verily. It, you know, verily, verily, I said, whosoever shall say to this mountain. But the voice is verily, verily sometimes, because there's an emphasis that I'm telling you something you don't know. And I want to impregnate you with what I'm telling you, so you won't be normal when I start working.
Right. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
You understand that, Clint?
Yes, sir.
See, that's the voice. See, that's the voice. And then the vision. The vision. The vision. The vision is to never stop. The vision is to accept no defeat. The vision for you as leaders to live long, strong, happy, prosperous, productive, and be able to put out without being afraid.
Amen.
All right?
Yes, sir.
All right. So then now, here's the next thing now. You have to, here's what he tell me, tell the leaders they have to be able to understand my voice. I will speak this morning. I've been pushed into another phase of ministry.
Amen.
The whole Houston conference was in another dimension of teaching and preaching. More power, it's more anointing, it's more, it's everything. Everything has shifted. And then the Lord do it. You know, I'm flying through the air. I got everything I'm going to preach. I'm praying about it. And, you know, the Lord say, you know, you none of it. He said, I want you to get up there and open your mouth. And I'm going to tell you what to say. That's what he's doing right now. See, now a present come on you, and a present come when that happened. Now, because you're totally dependent on him, so you got the voice. Now you got to hear the voice, Claire, right?
Yes, sir.
And then I talked to you about the vision, right?
Yes,
all right. Now the next thing, if you don't know the voice, and you don't know the vision, here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna miss your visitation. See, the Lord always visiting, but people who know he's there have to be able to hear.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And where there's no vision, people perish. See, our vision is changing the lives of people with the word of God.
Yes,
so we can't back up when God gives us another dimension of his word.
Amen.
You see, to go beyond the norm. The norm, he who stick with the norm shall never see. You heard that?
Yes, sir.
He who stick with the norm or the normal shall never see. This life is a journey and it's adventurous.
Yes, sir. Yes.
When you're dealing with the Holy Spirit, It's an adventurous life because now you're operating in the realm of the spirit. You're operating in the realm of the supernatural. You're not operating in the natural. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So if it's not adventurous, it's not God. God can't become routine. Because he worked by revelation.
Yes, amen.
Are you following me?
Yes,
there's an excitement in there. There's excitement, but you're going to have to be able to hear the voice, huh?
Yes.
Understand the vision, and know when there's a visitation. Now, the Lord has visited us. The Lord's visiting us right now.
Amen.
The Lord's visiting us to not die early.
Right.
Amen. The Lord, that's what we're doing?
Yes,
he's visiting us, but see, people now, you all leaders. Y'all got to hold up the bloodstained banner.
Yes.
Because when I be talking, I'm trying to get people to shift.
Yes, sir.
I'm not trying to hurt nobody. I'm not trying to go no, but I'm just trying to get them to live
right.
and see something the church has not taught us.
Yes, sir. That's right.
See, so you got to understand the vision. The vision is a moving vision.
Right.
You might come here one Sunday, we're somewhere, might be somewhere else.
Yeah.
So you got to stay prayed up because it's constantly moving, all right? All right, yeah, you got to keep up with it. So the voice, you got to hear the voice. So God got to talk to you.
Amen.
And you got to incubate the vision in your heart.
Right.
What the vision is all about. It's helping people, changing people's lives.
Yes.
It's telling people where you're missing it at.
Right. Yes.
It's telling the people where you can catch it at.
Yes,
you're telling the people, God waiting on you over there.
Right. Right.
You're in the wrong spot. God over there.
Right.
God moving here now.
Yes.
Yeah, they're going to keep singing the same song and eating the same food and you know I'm talking scripture and the spiritual food. See. And then again I want to repeat myself to verily, the law of repetition is important in teaching. I have to learn that because a lot of times God give me a good message and I have thousands and thousands of messages and I go on to something else. I'm studying 42 hours, I'm pressing the button 42 years, you know. I'm just pressing the button every day. But we don't want to miss our visitation. Our visitation probably those of us who are visitors won't catch the visitation.
Amen.
And so we got members who are visitors. You got to understand that.
Yes,
they come to pay their due.
Yes,
but they got us want to know what fresh word that God had for me and my family.
Yes.
I want to understand it there. I want to hear it myself.
Yeah.
I don't want my man of God just to hear it. I want to hear myself, my fresh vision, my fresh insight.
Yeah.
See, now you got visitors who come by to see. You're going to have that this morning. And you got members who are visitors. You have to understand that. And when they act kind of ugly when you call them, you see, you know they're visitors. They don't even want you to visit. You understand? But you as leaders have to know, watch what I say now, I know where I'm going.
Amen.
See? And you have to know, you have to have trust in your leader. As a leader, you have to trust in your leader conscious of their honorableness. That I'm not trying to, your leader, don't think your leader trying to bring a new clique. It's just that we're moving. We're moving it, and Louisiana been stagnant when it comes to the aspect of freshness of the presence of God and the goodness of God. So now, pruning, John 15, that's the pruning factor. That's the clipping off the wigs, the wigs or the twigs that are not going to produce nothing. They got to be clipped off. So in the pruning process, the garden hear the gardener come and say, "Oh Lord,
yeah.
Somebody gonna die today."
Right.
So
right.
Somebody got to go because they're holding the other branches from producing.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's what Jesus talking about in John 15.
Yes, sir.
15. You see, so the church can't hardly handle unless they hear the voice,
right.
Unless they know the vision,
right.
Unless they know there's a visitation.
Yes, sir.
The church can't stand pruning because she think that just patting on the wounded help them,
right.
But no, they need to be dealt with.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Okay. So we're in a pruning time, all right?
Right.
A pruning time. Not only that, that the Bible, and that's 5 John 15.
Yes, sir.
Now, also in Hebrews 12, we talk about a shaking time.
Right.
It says, you read the chapter, you find out that there's a shaking going on, and that which can't stand it, going to be shaken off, and that which can stand it, going to stay, hold tight. So there's a shaking process. Now he said within that scripture also in John, in Hebrews 12, we have we're part of an unshakable kingdom. It's just people being shook. The kingdom not shook. You think the kingdom being shook if you don't know yourself. No, it's just sometimes personnels are being shook because they're not ready to go all the way.
Amen.
All right? And then leaders, when different dimension of the spirit, God starts speaking with other things, also there's a flushing. There's a flushing. You know, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That living water flushed too. When that anointing and that power and that understanding and that wisdom and that grace gets stronger, it starts flushing people who just playing around.
Right. Yeah.
They don't want to go no further. You can't stop the whole doggone ship. For three people who have jumped overboard.
Right.
They jumped on their own. I didn't push them. So I can't stop the ship. I told you stay on the ship.
Right.
Remember Paul told them guys, say stay on the ship. Now if you get off of here,
right.
You get off of here. If you get off the ship, you know, I try to speak to some three people. I said, three people about to leave. It's not time for them to leave. And their help is drifting.
Right.
And what I'm teaching now is exactly what they need.
Yes, sir.
But then got in some little stuff in their head and they're gone. What you don't understand, incubate it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
The Holy Spirit is an understander. The Holy Spirit, he's an understander. He understands everything. He understands God. He understands Jesus. He understands the kingdom. He understands eternity. He understands natural. He understands supernatural. The Holy Spirit.
Right.
Say the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, see, you're going to need to yield to the Holy Spirit. Now, I feel anointing coming. Now, you're going to need to yield to the Holy Spirit to stay in this type of traffic.
Yes, sir. Right.
It's a lot of traffic.
Yes, it is.
That's a lot of, let me say it this way. Surely there's a lot of divine traffic.
Yes, sir.
It has come to Darrow Road.
Yes, sir.
And so this morning we'll be in a lot of divine traffic, what the Lord spoke to me. A lot of divine traffic on your health and to see just how your health, I don't want to get into it because I'll go too far. But just like just how your health can come together forever.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, sir.
So here we are. We started out, we've talking to one another. I have meet with you all the time, you know, and when I shift, you have to shift.
That's right. That's right.
Uh-huh. And so this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with God. I think we're in the last days, and I think the emphasis has been too much on sin,
yes, sir,
and not enough to what is rightfully ours,
right, yes, sir,
because God's goodness will make you put some things down.
That's right, amen. That's right.
If a person ever get a view of the real God,
amen,
and of how good God is, they come under something called conviction. Or they become convinced.
Amen. Yes.
And then after being convinced, then conviction comes. And when conviction comes, consecration comes.
Right. Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
You listening?
Yes, sir.
And when consecration comes, the vicariousness of the crucifixion become real.
Yes, sir.
How great he is and how great a price he paid for us to be free and happy. Well, you're going to have attacks. You're going to have attempts. You listening?
Yes, sir.
But all I've been talking to you about is a spiritual law called a law of attraction.
Yes, sir.
See, with that voice, that visitation, you have the ability to attract God.
Yes.
When you attract God, you're attacking Satan.
Yes.
He becomes invalidated. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
That's how strong this is. See, we walk around with a divine law called a law of attraction.
Right.
We can subpoena God.
Amen.
God made it possible for us to subpoena him. We get in a spot. What do you think happened in the lion den?
Right.
What do you think happened when David faced Goliath? Yes. David had the law of attraction waiting for him. He attracted somebody more powerful than Goliath. Yes, that's what you got to do in your life. Yes, know that you, write it down. Know that you have the law of attraction to attract whatever you need. Whenever you need it, you can attract God. God, you know what I mean? You can attract God. I got the ability to attract God. I got the ability to cause God to track me down where I am, to handle my situation. No matter where I'm in Wyoming, Dakota, Chicago, New York, I have, because I'm connected with him, I have the ability to attract him. So I'm not thinking about Satan attack. He can't handle me. Greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. You got to know what you packing before you try to lead somebody else. You got to know what you carrying. You got to know how powerful you are on the inside and how limited your enemy is. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
I see you understand that?
Yes, sir.
So by, see, the scripture says the children of this world are wide in Luke 16 than the children of light. Right. What that mean? They work their system better than we work ours.
Yes, sir.
See, we try to bring all that worldly stuff in the church,
right.
and you can't have no normal pattern in the church.
Right.
Somebody's feet has to be stepped on sometimes.
Right.
And hurt the cone. You know, you got cone on your feet,
yeah.
And mash it. Sometimes that's got to happen for a change to be made.
Right.
So don't get worried when the sick are out.
Yes, sir.
Come on now.
The sick are not going to hurt nobody.
Right.
I'm not to hurt nobody. You're not to hurt nobody.
Right.
But their direction,
yeah.
Correction,
right.
And protection,
yes, sir.
Have to take place through leaders.
Right. Yes.
So they can't be an okay person.
Right. Amen.
They got to be this is not right person.
Right. Yes, sir.
Understand?
Yes, sir.
So whenever you person in your own personal life, let me deal with your personal life. In your own personal life, you're going to have to be alive to the fact that you can't lose.
Amen.
Why? What is 1 John 4:4? Yeah, the word said, I mean, great is he that's in you. You have overcome them, little children. And see, when I was talking about the world, and I'm almost through, when I was talking about the children of this world are wiser than the children of light because they make us look like it's not happening.
Right.
Amen.
And they do it with material things.
Amen.
That's what they flash in our face.
Amen.
So that's our next move.
Yes, sir.
We got to let God bless us so much.
Amen.
That they don't have nothing to hold on to.
Yes,
and that's what I'm trying to get you. That's what this church is all about. Getting in a position where God can do all he want to in individual lives and rise them up. It's not just money. It's not just material things. But yet, that's part of it.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, it makes life more easier.
Yes.
You pray more easier from under pressure. How can you pray when everything, all your needs met? God, dog, man. You can stay all night, stay all day. I ain't going to work tomorrow. Because you're fixed. You know, we still like most of them. We got to get to work every day. We're in a hurry, running over people, blowing the horn. I don't want to be late. This is a breakthrough church. You're breakthrough leaders. Write that down. You are breakthrough leaders. You ought to show people how to get a breakthrough. So if you're going to show them how to get a breakthrough, you got to get your breakthrough.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But you got to pay attention. Pay attention. You got a man driven for 42 years before you all the time. I'm driven. I'm not. God don't have to drag me. I'm driven.
Yes, sir. All glory.
I'm driven in this willingness.
Right.
The church is a willingness,
yes,
where it's not functioning properly.
Right. Yes,
we got to get this baby to function, man.
Yes. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Glory to God.
Every joint got to supply.
Yes.
You got to pay attention. We got to get out of these little division of thoughts and what I want, what you want, what she want, what they want. No, what God want.
Right. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah.
See? So the children of the world is wiser than the children of light. They are setting up their attraction. It's all on the outside. It's a glamour. It's a glow, but it's false. But we must know from the inside that there's a divine supernatural law in us that can attract the abilities of God to change impossibilities into possible. To change, listen, to change natural into the supernatural. That's all Jesus did with them five fish and five loaves of bread and two little fish. It didn't make no difference. Because he knew that he can call his father.
Yeah.
Guess who got the same daddy? But it got to be personal. It has to be intimacy. Has to be developed. And you have to stop listening at these religious bells. They don't do that at our church. That's why I'm not there. That's why I left. I'm fed up with what y'all keep doing the same thing. God got to be bigger than what I've been seeing. Now, let's go back to the voice. And I'm going to close. The voice. Personal. Personal voice. Right there. Personal voice. Personally speaking to you about your situation. Traveling in a traffic just made for you. See this now. I want you to hear this. The Spirit of God speaking to you. Because I got to get you all lifted to the point where you all understand all of this. A personal word. You need a rhema, a live personal word. You hear me talking about searching the scripture, but it's not doing you no benefit this morning. That's the first thing I open up with. But then there's another scripture, and I don't want to go too far in them, but then there's another scripture that says he opened their understanding.
Yes, sir.
That they might understand the scripture.
Yes.
Then the scripture become life. See, so you need, I pronounce on you that you're going to get your portion of words.
Amen.
Because I need you out of the wandering traffic, doubt traffic, or when it's going to happen traffic. This anointing is too strong for you to be there.
Amen.
And I'm so not only, listen to me now, not only information is what you need. Not only information. You do need information. But you also need to make that information alive and run is impartation.
Yes,
write it down. See, because everything you're dealing with, you need information on it.
Right.
But you also need an impartation that gives you the strength and the power and the glory and the ability and the know-how and the backup and the insight and the illumination and the inspiration that you need to walk through that thing, not by sight.
Right. Yes, sir.
Now, two things I want you to pull together as leaders. I want you to pull your mind together. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You're going to have your mind constantly renewed so your soul can play its dimension. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because if your soul shut down, you don't have a transfer switch.
Yes, sir.
So you're going to be in the spirit and in the flesh at the same time.
Yes, sir.
Unless the transfer switch is working on your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, my sons, we met at the RV place, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about RVs. RVs run on a generator. When you're traveling, a generator running the whole thing. If you don't get the electricity, you can run the generator 5 or 6 days. You got enough fuel, got a big enough tank. But when you get to a park, you plug in, and you're now transferring from generator gas or diesel, whatever it is, to electricity on the park. They got the little thing where you hook your sewage up, and you hook the electricity up. Well, one of my sons hooked his electricity up, but it didn't go. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't go to the power that was coming out that 50 amp line. What happened? The transfer switch was stuck. It wasn't working. So, the 2 days we stayed, he had to run on lesser power. He run on the generator. But the power source was there for to kick him to another level. So if our souls are not properly trained and we don't understand that we have to get our thinking straight and get our mind renewed, we're going to run on the generator.
Yes, yes.
What a generator is, what you know.
Right.
And a few little scriptures you memorize.
Yeah, right.
And they ain't fresh.
Right.
But if the transfer switch working, good God Almighty, all the preachers y'all in here tonight. If you get the transfer, if you get your soul, you see, that's why Jesus said, what it profit a man to gain the whole world without his soul working? See, your soul is a transfer switch to not let that what you have, your house, you got a nice house, your car, don't let them take you over. If the transfer switch working, you give them all back to God, and God give you more. You're not stuck on things.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
See, we got to get unstuck. And we got to ask God to hold us and please heal. You know, John 16, 13, and 14 and 15.
Yes, sir.
That's all you need, baby.
Yes, sir.
John 16, 13. Look at it right quick. I'm going to close. This is sweet Jesus here, boy.
Yeah.
This is a moment in your life. This is a moment. You never had no idea this was going to happen to you this morning. But you're shifting. I wish you hear me. I hope you're hearing me. I hope you're hearing me. Because the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord. See, how can the battle not be yours and become the Lord? How can what you're dealing with now? How can your battle not be yours and you can turn it over to the Lord? Instruction. Follow the Lord's instruction, he'll take over. If you don't follow the instruction, he'll let you keep it. You half praying, half saying, half making it. But when you follow his instruction, because his instruction sometimes going to be stupid to your natural man. You cannot remain normal and be spiritual at the same time. He's going to give you some. And why God is instruction? You read about him you in the Old Testament. Why God instruction are always awkward sometimes? Well, it has to move beyond the senses for you to take off in faith, because as long as he give you normal instruction, go down the street, turn right, stop at the left, second stop sign. Anybody can do that.
Yeah.
All right, Lord, I'll do it. Then some of y'all won't do that. Mm-hmm. So that stop sign too far. I ain't going way down there. You can't do it yet. I just don't do it. That's ignorant going to see.
Yeah.
See, now ever since I stood up here, I'm talking about a supernatural development.
Right.
Write that down.
Yes, sir. Glory to
I'm
God.
Talking about developing supernatural leaders.
Yeah.
Supernatural leaders are not cry babies.
Amen.
You don't have to bring them a bottle when a higher revelation had broken out.
Glory.
They ain't around there crying, I don't understand. Why are you going to talk about that all the time? Just put the bottle down and then go ahead and let the supernatural work. You see, parables is to franchise the enemy.
Right.
Their stocks are changed. The enemy's stock. When Jesus started talking in parables, the enemy's stock changed because he couldn't go in there. He didn't understand what Jesus was saying. So a lot of time, now watch this. A lot of time, God gives you personal parables. You never heard that before, right? I never heard it before either. Sometimes God gives you personal parables to your life situation. It don't belong to nobody else. It's just your parable.
Right.
But you're going to have understanding how God talked.
Right.
And you have to be willing to trust him. What time it is? You got to be willing to trust him that you're going to do exactly what he says do.
Yes, sir.
When everybody else say you're crazy.
Yes, sir.
Why are they saying you're crazy? The parable is not for them.
Right. Amen.
So why you told them anyway?
Amen.
You think they're going, these dumb instructions seem like dumb instructions? You're going to go tell them, ask them to pray with you about that, and they ain't heard nothing?
Right.
Amen. Come on.
All they're going
to
do is diffuse your faith.
Right.
They won't have a discussion. They won't have a discussion about it. Let's talk about it. Let's go look at some scripture. No, baby, I ain't looking at no scripture now. The Lord has spoken.
Yeah.
You see, you got a witness on the inside of you. God have told you how to get out of this situation. Now you're going to go get some prayer partner who wasn't there when God talked to you? How can you explain the bunny and bush experience to another man? You can't explain to him. Moses said, I saw a burning bush. Man, you ain't saw no burning bush. No, I'll tell you something else. God was in it.
Yeah.
No, man. And he talked to me out of it.
Right.
Told me what to do. Now, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember this from that burning bush experience. Shall I jump from one thing to another? Just keep with me. Huh? Moses got a concept out of that burning bush experience called the I am-ness of God. You need that. You need to know the I am-ness of God. So when you're praying, you're already there. When you know the I am-ness of God, God is not I can, I will be, I am. The I am-ness of God. Remember Jesus? Jesus was walking in the I am. I'm the bread. I'm the bread of life. I'm living water. Uh-huh. That's the strongest vocabulary I want you to carry from now on. I want you to watch what you say after you say I am. But I want you to develop a pattern of I am-ness.
Yes, sir.
I am healthy.
I am healthy.
I am wealthy.
I am wealthy.
I am free.
I am.
Yes, just for you, find, yes, you can find some things. I am out of debt.
Yeah, I am out of debt. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Yep. See, the I am-ness of God.
I am.
See, watch what you say when you sit behind that wood. And listen, leader, don't complain.
Right.
Don't compromise.
Right. Yes, sir.
Don't get confused.
Right. Yes, sir.
When something happening in your life, your father loves you. All he's trying to do is change your direction.
Yes, sir.
You see what I'm saying? He has something you're going to miss going that way.
Yeah.
So he changed your direction. Don't get mixed up about that.
Yeah.
Just change with it.
Yes,
I've been doing that for years. Just flow with him.
Yes,
he loves you. You know he loves you, right?
Yes, sir.
So his love come in disguise.
Yes.
So the enemy can't see it.
Wow.
So when the enemy think you going down, they're looking the wrong way. You going up.
Amen.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Now, you've been in a room of maturity this morning.
Yeah, yes, sir.
See, this leadership, this matured stuff, this stuff that you can hold your place when the Lord is ministering to his people, a lot of them are babies yet. They don't understand what you're trying to snatch them to. I don't know about you. I'm tired walking in shadow water. It's hard to walk in shadow water. You pull your leg, got dragged. You got to get that water high enough so you can float in it and swim. And that's what the Lord always trying to do. He's trying to get us into deeper water. But he can't take us on a sense trail, a natural trail, a regular trail, a traditional trail. Or just the way we do it, trip. Man, you ain't no way to do it. You ain't got no way to do it. The Lord is the one to show you how to do it. You think you got a way to do it. You ain't got no way. You don't know what you're doing. You are somebody who need to be led. You, when you say you're a Christian, the next word is led. If you're a Christian and the next word is not led, you know what the next word is? Lost. You either led or lost at any given moment. Choose your part. You either led or lost. And I tell you a way to judge that. Huh? Huh? The big crowd is lost. There's a remnant that's being led. Scripture on the broad way. Wide gate. Narrow way. Straight gate. You see a few that be there on it. See? Now look, listen to all. Oh my goodness. Listen to all this pressure I've been putting the last few days about Jesus. Now you ain't gonna hear none of that this morning. Because that's not the major.
Amen.
See, but you gotta tell them the minor so they can understand the major.
Yes, sir.
Now I'll take them in the major. We're going to major league this morning.
Amen.
But now you should know how to eat. I mean, a person wanna go in the major league, you should know how to eat. There's certain substance you got to have in you,
yes,
to go in the major league. I mean, a boxer don't eat a sweet roll all the week, and he's facing a heavy opponent. So what the spot that was missed is we didn't know how to eat. And so herbs is not the only way, it's a part of the way.
Right.
But where I teach it, when I get a hold of something, like Man, Pastor Gone. Yes, I went there because the hole had to be drilled. That those who want to get themselves straight, it ain't going to happen overnight. You can be on the earth for 4 or 5 weeks, nothing changed. But it's changing. You were here today in ministry in the day. You were here a revelation today in not even talking about herb, but will make you eat herb the rest of your life. There's a revelation. I'm telling you, I won't have to talk to you no more about your crazy eating. There's a revelation that God's going to put out this morning in the sanctuary that you're going to say, oh, Jesus, oh, God. But it's going to change your life forever. All right, that's enough. That's enough. All right, praise God.